This is the Canucks Central postgame show.
Hughes holding on to the puck, centering pass. Besser and Garland were both in front, couldn't tip it on. Now Hughes gets it again, left circle, he scores! A rising wrister from the captain beats Stuart Skinner. The Canucks are 2-for-2 on the power play, and they lead the Oilers 3-0. Bouchard, right point, passes far corner. McDavid cut away to the front of the net. Nurse had a backdoor tap in. Couldn't get it to go, but then in the right circle, Dreisaitl scores.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Soucy gets the puck free to the line, but Bouchard held in. For McDavid, right side, left circle, Nugent Hopkins to the goal, holding onto the puck behind the net, far side. Dreisaitl scores again. A tough angle one-timer. To the left of Thatcher Demko, right along the goal line.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The Vancouver Canucks win 3-2, fervent early with three goals in the 3-minute and 22-second span. They hold on in a feisty third period as well. We'll get to everything that happened at the end of the game. Welcome to the Canucks Central postgame show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. I'm Bick Nazar. With me is Landon Ferraro. That was a very entertaining game, and you mentioned it too. Like, you see the commitment level when it's there, the level this team can get to.
And honestly, like, that's the toughest part because, you know, if you're a player in that dressing room, you've had especially the coaching staff telling you, like, what it can be, and you've seen it from time to time, but then you go out and you do it tonight, and you're just, like, there's the thought as you're driving home, you're like, man, like, how have we not just done this every single night? Like, the commitment to using your feet, not being denied, getting around someone, getting to the net, like, all those hard things that Rick Tocchet has been talking about all season, the Canucks did them exceptionally well today, and not even just early in the game when, you know, you needed to have a good start, like, all the way through, especially down the stretch as Edmonton was trying to make their push, like, there wasn't really the big push that you normally see from Edmonton because Vancouver did such a good job staying on top of guys, not really giving any easy offense.
I want to get to the end of game sequence, too. We'll get to all the goals. You'll have plenty of opportunity, by the way, to be part of the show. I'm running solo tonight for most of it, so you're my co-host this evening, 604-280-0650. If you want to grab a phone line, 1-888-275-0650 as well. You can get into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox, 650-650. The chaos at the end of the game, because you've been in these moments, that feisty, just combative nature. These two teams, playoff series, as we remember, last season. And Connor McDavid, central to a lot of it. And look, don't get me wrong, like, he takes a lot of abuse as well. But we saw just the other day that chicken wing. We saw now, like, there's a, let's just call it, like, a dirty element to his game. And this one, like, that's a two-hand chop right to the face. Myers reciprocates on Evan Bouchard as well. But that's, hey, rivalries create this type of animosity.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say, too, like, talking Connor McDavid, he takes, like you said, he takes a ton of abuse night in, night out. So when he sees a guy that he knows he's bigger than and he feels there's some liberties being made, like, you've seen it all throughout, not just hockey, but sports across the board. Like, if you're one of the best players or the best player in your league, guys are always taking shots at you. You need to kind of back them off sometimes. Was this one a little over the line? Probably.
It is, because he initiates the whole contact, right? He's the one that's lying on top of Garland. And, yeah, Garland's, you know, doing the elbows to try to get up, but he's trying to get up.
Yeah.
You're laying on top of him. What do you expect?
Exactly. But, again, like, those guys, like, the stars have to do it from time to time to kind of buy that respect back. Like, you know, Soucy gets him with one last year in the playoffs. And, you know, and like you're saying, like, there's a lot of history between these teams. And, you know, McDavid's frustrated. He wasn't happy with how his team played tonight, I'm assuming. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. It's a match penalty. He hit him square in the face.
It's an automatic hearing, too, for those that are wondering.
Yeah. And I would imagine that both McDavid and Myers are both going to have at least a discussion about what's going to happen next, because they were both pretty much identical. They were with force. They weren't You didn't see them pull back any muscle on those cross checks.
We'll let you go, Landon. You're on after hours duty, so if you want to see more of Landon Ferraro, tune into Hockey Night in Canada with Scott Oak and After Hours.
All right, awesome. Well, I'll see you later.
Thanks
a
lot.
Fun having a good chat after a good win.
Absolutely. We go outside now, the Canucks locker room. Joining me is Phil DiGiuseppe after a 3-2 Canucks win. Phil, that was a feisty affair as well, the way it ended, but I imagine like the start of it just felt like a bit of a reclaiming of what we've seen when you guys are at your best.
Yeah, it was a fun game. A lot of intensity. You know, we got shots early and gained momentum off that, so we got to just stick to that.
What happened for the start? Was there anything, you know, pregame or part of the game plan that, you know, led to that, you know, very eventful first 20 minutes? You guys get 16 shots on goal, obviously the three goals in that stretch as well, but it looks so energetic in the opening.
Yeah, obviously, you know, over the past couple of years, you know, us and Edmonton have played some good hockey against each other, and obviously last year in the playoffs. So, you know, there's passion in that matchup, and you know, both teams want each other, and it was good to get the win tonight.
Your line in particular, a lot of love coming in for it in our inbox here. Just the effort put forth and, you know, shifts late in the game as well, 10 minutes, 6 minutes, 3 minutes to go. You guys are out there. What element did you feel like you guys brought that helped propel to 2 points tonight?
I like playing with those guys. You know, Hoggy's got quick feet and he's got a hard stick. That came out a little wrong, but he's strong on his stick.
But, just on his game tonight, because it looked like he was demanding the puck a lot, too. We could hear him shouting as well with 10 minutes to go. Like he wanted it, and when he's at his best, he can create like that, too.
Yeah, he's a really good player. Almost had one there in the first. You know, he can create on his own, and then Sass is so good carrying the puck up the middle, and he's got speed. So I think, you know, we play well together because we all play straight lines, and you know, we love playing in the corner, so we had a few good cycle shifts and played an honest game.
What's your impression, too, of Max Sasson there, too? Because you spent some time in the AHL with them and back here with the big club. What have you noticed and liked in his growth?
Yeah, he's a great dude on and off the ice. Like I said earlier, I like playing with him. He plays with pace, plays direct, predictable hockey. So, you know, he's a pleasure to play with.
The end of a game there, a lot of brouhahas as well. You know, when you see that, you know, what's your reaction in those moments?
You know, it just kind of goes back to what I was saying before. You know, there's a level of intensity us two teams have against each other, and obviously, you know, it spilled over in the last few seconds there.
Are wins like these like galvanizing moments too? Because it's been up and down here, kind of 500 for a prolonged stretch here, and you look at a win like this, like how do you weaponize this into like a bit of a streak here?
It's definitely something to build off of, and you know, coming out early, you know, I don't know, I think we had 15 or 16 shots in the first period. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was 16, yeah.
So I think that's, you know, that's something. Obviously, we're always trying to shoot the puck, but maybe if, you know, there's not a perfect play to be made, just throw it on net and then it causes a little bit of chaos. So I think that's kind of what helped us develop zone time early on.
Hey Phil, we really appreciate it as always. Best of luck here moving forward, and we'll see if this run continues. Now
always fun, guys.
Appreciate that. It is Phil DiGiuseppe joining us here outside the Canucks locker room. Bick Nizar here with you on the Canucks Central post-game show. If you want to grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. Also, the text message inbox buzzing right now at 650-650. This one, suspend that loser for 4 games. Again, as I mentioned, automatic hearings for both Tyler Myers and Connor McDavid. They end up getting match penalties. Again, very similar. I don't know if Tyler Myers saw the cross check and thought, you know, that's a good idea, that I should try to do that one myself. But it was serendipitous. Back-to-back cross checks to the grills of Connor Garland and Evan Bouchard in those moments. So we'll see what comes of it. But I thought, you know, Landon touched on it too, the details and the commitment in this game was at such a high level early too. You just saw the natural energy, something that we've seen this team have so much success with last season. And at some point, we do have to stop citing last season. But they were so good at scoring first and just getting on top of teams early. They've been struggling to get the first goal of the game so far this year. 18 times, now 19 after tonight, but they get the first one, end up going up 3-0, and you think, okay, is that a chance to coast? And they looked constantly progressive and proactive throughout that first period, generating chances. And honestly, I think the best chance they had that period, they didn't even score on. It's the Nils Höglander chance that Phil DiGiuseppe was just mentioning there. You know, that's all started from back pressure. And we haven't seen enough back pressure and just consistent commitment to defense from this group this season. But in that moment, or at least neutral zone defense, in their own zone, they've played lower event hockey. But in this moment here, they create back pressure in the neutral zone. Höglander can't bury it, trying to sneak it under Skinner's stick there, or after his skate, after a tremendous move there. And then there's the chance that gets recycled for Hronek. That one-timer gets blocked. Like, that may have been the best chance. You know, the Hughes shot goes off Ekholm's skate. Stanton Heinen, you know, gets a great opportunity after a shot that's blocked. And obviously the Hughes goal as well on a shot that beats Stuart Skinner. But I thought the best chance was a credit to that fourth line and Nils Höglander. And a lot of love coming in for PDG, Sasson, and Nils Höglander into our Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. We'll get to, again, as I mentioned, it is our show today. Satyar Shah, Dan Riccio down, amongst many others here at Sportsnet 650. I'm stepping in, but you're my co-host this evening. So let's get to what you have to say on the phone line. We'll have plenty of chance to get your thoughts, 604-280-0650. Let's start with Kevin in Port Moody. Kevin, what are your thoughts on tonight's game?
Yeah, Bic, how's it going?
Excellent, man, excellent.
Yeah, good game overall, but I just don't want to hear Canucks fans whining all post-game show about McDavid. I don't see these two cross-checks the same. I see them as obvious match penalty suspensions. Garland and McDavid are in a battle. Garland has a chance to defend himself. McDavid's all over him. He's all over him. Bouchard is gliding towards Myers and gets chopped right in the face. So I don't want to hear anything all post game about McDavid. Let's talk about the game. Canucks have had very few wins this year. Talk about the win. Talk about how they played a good game. You know, it could be maybe a turning point, galvanizing moment. But let's not whine about McDavid all night, because more often than not, him and Draisaitl just feed the Canucks all season. So that's all I got to say. Is one guy had his hands at his waist, the other guy was in a battle. So I don't think they're the same. I think they're both penalties, suspensions, and that's where I draw the line.
There it is, Kevin. You know, appreciate the call. 604-280-0650. Again, you'll have plenty of chances to get your shots up today on the post-game show, so grab that phone line. We'll get to you in just a moment. Again, large stretches of this game. I thought the Canucks were very effective. You know, the first period, they were far and away the better team. Like, you can go through a couple of chances there. There was the first play of the game. There was a bit of a rush chance for the Oilers there, but 4-on-2, 4-on-3. But after that, like, it's Suter making a nice play defensively in the neutral zone, helped set a possession that ends up being Miller to Garland, who hits the side of the net with Skinner sprawling. And then, you know, PDG has a back check on Janmark, who breaks up a play after a pass for McDavid. It sets up another opportunity. We mentioned the Höglander chance. Through and through, like, Myers hits Garland on a diagonal pass, and it's a bit of a shoveled redirect. That creates a chance. And then the goals come thereafter. Pettersson has a shot on the power play that's gloved away. Like, there were chances in that first period, and they carried the play. Third period, you know, we've touched so often about low event hockey. They're not pushing the tempo, and they kind of do it again in this third period. This time, though, they obviously walked out victorious, but 6 shots on goal in the third period. They limit the Oilers to 8 shots on goal in the final 40, just 3 shots on net on Thatcher Demko in the final 20 minutes. So, again, the low event nature worked tonight Is that something that you want to live in this environment, though? And is it something that you're comfortable with? You can chime in 650-650 or 604-280-0650 as well. But Kevin's got some people fired up as well about the late game shenanigans from both Connor McDavid and Tyler Myers. You know, I like what Landon said, too. It's a bigger player going against a smaller player. And in that moment, again, like both players have to know better. They both have to know better, Connor McDavid and Tyler Myers, about cross-checking guys to the face. And, you know, the Myers one, to me, feels more like missing a spot. Yeah, it's you shouldn't put it to the teeth, of course. But we've seen guys just miss a spot and get too high. You got to be in control of your emotions. The McDavid one, like that feels retaliatory to me. Just the nature of how that plays out, and I get what Kevin is saying of, like, he's the one that's in the battle, but that feels targeted. And we'll see what both guys come out to with the suspensions. You'd suspect one or two for each of them in this spot here. But we'll see what the NHL Department of Player Safety has to say about it. Let's go to Paul in Coquitlam, 604-280-0650. Paul, your thoughts on what happened at the end of the game.
Hey, Beck. Yeah, first of all, just wanted to say, so after the last couple of games, I honestly thought the Canucks were going to get smoked tonight by Edmonton. So it was really nice to see them play so well. And actually, a lot of players that I wasn't really expecting to do incredibly well, I thought had great games. Like Hoglander had a great game. I thought Pettersson was trying harder than I've ever seen him try this season. JT Miller had a good game. Quinn Hughes was awesome once again. So, yeah, it was a very positive game and unexpectedly good. But just to end the game there, I have to disagree with Kevin next door to me here in Port Moody. I'm not going to whine about McDavid, but he is a dirty player. And there's been so many cases where he's done things and he's crossed the line. The league doesn't do anything about it. Just like three nights ago, I think it was in Minnesota, he elbowed somebody. And it's just like, you know, yes, you're the best player in the world, but I don't know. I hope the NHL, I mean, they're not going to come down on him. They'll give him a one-game suspension or something. But I will be really mad if they give him a one-game suspension and they give Tyler Myers too. Because I think both of them, it was completely equal. You know, they both need to sit a game, and that's it. But anyway, overall, it was a pretty good game. I'm encouraged, and hopefully they can keep it going.
Thanks a lot. It's Paul in Coquitlam. You can grab that phone line, 604-280-0650, 1-888-275-0650. He mentioned a bunch of players there, and again, it's coming in the inbox too. We'll cite some of the text here in just a little bit. But the Hoglander element, I thought, you know, when he's driving a line, like at his best last season, driving a fourth line, producing. We know about the 24 goals, obviously. But he was so effective in a lower deployment, but high energy. And like I go to that shift, it was about 10 minutes, 10:45 left in the third period. But he is just buzzing everywhere on the ice and helps generate with just enough pressure, generates and forces a turnover, demanding the puck, and it has an extended offensive zone shift. And tonight for Nils Höglander, I'm just trying to bring up his ice time tonight, it's 9:11. And look, we can be frustrated at, hey, is it going to be 12 minutes? Is it going to be 13 minutes? Is it going to be 9 minutes for Höglander? If it ends up being 9 minutes, they better be an energetic 9 minutes. You want to get to 12 minutes, you've got to have an effective 9 minutes. And tonight, for me, like Nils Höglander, again, it's just 9 minutes, but that was a noticeable 9 minutes, which is what you want to see. Ends up being with two hits tonight, one takeaway or one giveaway and one block shot for Nils Höglander, but also three shot attempts, all of them on goal. And that whole sequence too, like very, very unlucky to not score in that first period sequence there. Even does the Connor Garland between the skates shot like Garland did earlier this year with his back to goal, but it helps create that chance. Unlucky to not get on the goal, but that's the Höglander that feels far more effective to get to a stage where he is contributing big numbers for your Vancouver Canucks. All right, let's get to the inbox here. 650-650. Again, you'll have plenty of thoughts through it. This one, Fuzz from Burnaby. I didn't have this type of ending in my bingo card. Did you? You know, we saw earlier the 7-3 game earlier in the season. You thought that would be the one where the emotion comes out. And this one, you know, it was percolating throughout the whole game, especially in a frustrating night. If you're Edmonton, right, 8 shots on goal in the final 40 minutes, you think, yeah, we got this goal. We got another one. We just did this the other day to Colorado. We can come back on the Vancouver Canucks. They don't, and it just ends up – you'd expect emotion at some point to come out between these two teams, and that's – as much as we have our thoughts on the playoff format, division rivalries are meant to bring division emotion. And tonight we see that emotion come to the surface in a big way. And again, for me, it was initiated by Connor McDavid. Like, he's the one that is laying on top of Garland after just a physical battle. And there's a text message earlier saying if the refs wanted to stop that before it even gets to the point of cross checks, you can call a hold on Connor McDavid as he's lying on top of Connor Garland that moment. That's an unsigned text here. 650-650 as well. And they had their chance to respond, and obviously Tyler Myers responds with a cross check himself. All right, a lot more to get to. We'll hear from head coach Rick Tocchet as well after the Canucks win 3-2. Your reaction as well. Hang on to the phone line. Again, I want you tonight. You're my co-host this evening here at Rogers Arena as the Canucks are celebrating a 3-2 win over the Edmonton Oilers. It is the Canucks Central post-game show brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. More on the way here from Rogers Arena on Canucks Central post-game show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3-4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
McDavid to the line, Bouchard, heavy shot, blocked by Pettersson, who broke another stick of Pettersson's. Two of his sticks are discarded on the ice as Garland tied up McDavid at the point. McDavid ran him over, fans want a penalty, Bouchard shoots on a long-range wrister, he missed the net. McDavid and Garland still tangled up. McDavid jumped on top of Garland, giving him shots to the back of his head. 7 seconds left. Dreisaitl shoots right circle. It was blocked in front. Bouchard on the left boards as McDavid and Dreisaitl are still into it. And now a whistle sounds, and the Canucks are after Connor McDavid in the slot in their own zone with only 2 seconds left in the third period.
As McDavid and Garland get tied up, McDavid gets Garland with a pretty good cross check up high.
To the face.
And on the far side, you have Myers and Bouchard, and Myers caught Bouchard up high as well. Tensions are popping off here.
You know, it just kind of goes back to what I was saying before. You know, there's a level of intensity us two teams have against each other, and obviously, you know, that spilled over in the last few seconds there.
Welcome back to Canucks Central post-game show, live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. It is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. I thought the end there with Pettersson breaking the two sticks would be the weirdest thing we see in that end of game sequence. Two sticks broken in one shift by Elias Pettersson amidst all the scrambles, then the battling, and then ends up with the cross checks, which we have a lot of reaction to. You can grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, also 650-650 into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. We had a text here, I just lost it, a lot of reaction coming in the inbox, but someone complaining about my description of it, of Tyler Myers missing his spot here. I just think when we see scrums like that, and you watch this, like Tyler Myers is, you know, gliding backwards. Obviously, Bouchard comes in two of them, and then Myers kind of stops. I think we've seen enough players do a performative cross-check kind of high to the area. But in this one, like, yeah, I just think he misses his spot and ends up into the face. And that's why you probably should be in control of your emotions and not do that. There's other ways to go about, you know, having a physical affair in that spot. And that's why he's going to get suspended. It's obviously a suspendable offense here. I'm going to be clear about that one. But you look at the nature in which, like, Myers is gliding back, comes to a stop eventually once Bouchard comes close, and the get up and go after Connor Garland nature of McDavid. Like, that's a bit of a difference, but it's open to interpretation to everyone. Kevin in Port Moody had the thoughts earlier on the phone line, which generated a lot of reaction from the inbox as well, 650-650. But as I mentioned earlier, a lot of love coming in here for that fourth line as well. Owen and Burnaby really like the effort from that fourth line, particularly Hoglander. He's been on the forecheck all night. This one unsigned, that's why he's better on the fourth line for Hoglander. He becomes a line driver. As well, a lot of thoughts coming in about what happened at the end of the game, let alone what happened before the game. There was a report about, is it coming close for a trade for the Vancouver Canucks involving JT Miller? Some reaction about that coming in. Obviously, we'll touch on that throughout the course of the evening. We'll hear from Rick Tocchet as well coming up in this segment as well, as he reacts to everything that happened at the end of the game, but of course a 3-2 Canucks win, which, again, it hasn't quite been the devastating season. It hasn't gone great, obviously, but here they are, 50 points in 45 games. Given what we saw in, like, a North Division year, the start of the Bruce Boudreaux season, like, the seasons were basically over. It has kind of been a season of hell relative to expectation. They were expected to challenge for a division title, hovering around a wild card spot right now through 45 games, but they find themselves still in the fight and showing fight tonight against the Edmonton Oilers in a 3-2 win. All right, let's get back to the phone line. Thanks for hanging on. Jay in Langley, welcome to the postgame show. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. How you doing? Just want to talk to the guy that called me earlier regarding from the island, saying, don't say nothing about McDavid. Clearly, this guy's never played ice hockey. He's probably joined ballet or something. You know what? McDavid made a cheap shot. You know, people are looking up for this, up to this guy. Kids are looking up to this guy. Those are cheap shots at the end of the day. If you know, if Myers hit McDavid, this would have been a huge thing. Now, McDavid hit Garland. He's a little smaller than him. But you know what? You know, it's a game. But at the end of the day, you know what? That's a cheap shot. And, you know, kids are looking out for him, up to this guy. He shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. That's all I wanted to say. Have a good night.
Jay, thanks a lot for the call. You can grab that phone line, 604-280-0650, on the thought of what if Myers did that to Connor McDavid. Well, we did see that in the playoffs. Carson Soucy to Connor McDavid in that spot with Zadorov with the check in the back, and Soucy again with McDavid falling over, gets that cross-check up into the face of McDavid as he's fallen over, but nevertheless in that moment was suspended a game in the playoffs. We'll see what comes of these ones. Again, for me, bare minimum, this is a one-gamer. Would I mind seeing two for both parties here in this spot? Not necessarily. Again, because I agree with all the mentions here. It's like we don't really need to see that in the game. I love the emotion. I love the fire. I love the physicality and the rugged nature of it. Do I need to see lumber right to the grill? Not necessarily, but you love to see the next escalation of what this rivalry could become. But it's going to require the Canucks to go on a bit of a run here to get to a spot. If they can catch the LA Kings, then you can get a 2-3 matchup the way it's sorted right now. If the Oilers were to finish 2, it could be a reacquainting of what happened last May as well with the Canucks and the Oilers. But the Canucks have to put some wins together here. They haven't had consecutive wins. Consecutive wins, ladies and gentlemen, since December 1st, November 29th, and December 1st on a 6-game road trip, which brought the vibes back all of a sudden. It's been a minute here since they've strung together 2 consecutive wins. And since this game, we chatted about this in the pregame show, it almost felt like the last time the Oilers came to town is kind of when the wheels started to fall off a bit, right? They started the season 4-2-3. They go on that California sweep in San Jose, Anaheim, and L.A., and you think, all right, 7-2-3, they can reclaim what happened last season. And the Oilers came to town, who weren't even playing that well themselves, but they come in, blitz Vancouver, and walk away 7-3 winners. And then since then, all the way back on November 9th, coming into this evening, the Canucks had been 12-13-7. And as I mentioned, the only times they had won two in a row were on that six-game road trip, culminating on December 1st. And we've seen good performances on hockey night here. Last week against Toronto, tonight against Edmonton, separated by a 6-1 and a 5-1 loss. But you see the potential upside of if this team plays to the best of their ability. They can be difficult. They can be feisty. They can draw enough emotion that we see what we see at the end of the game. But it requires the commitment. And now we'll see what happens against the Sabres coming up in a couple of days here. Will they be on top of their game on Tuesday in Buffalo? And will we have the same group of players as well? We'll play this from Elliot Friedman later on in the show, but just essentially detailing that a move was nearly there for Vancouver and the Rangers, and there was a lot of speculation coming in tonight. Would JT Miller even play? Obviously he did, and that trade with the Rangers eventually got nixed and was called off, and so the Canucks continued to have conversations around the league and developed to a stage where they actually warned teams about tampering, about contacting JT Miller and all of their players, but it seems like they may have given permission to some teams to discuss the future with JT Miller, but we'll get to more of that reaction as the show continues. But let's get to your reaction here. Let's go to James in Montreal, who's fired up here. James, what's on your mind?
Very fired up. I'm on the East Coast. It's, I think, about 1:30 a.m. Correct me if I'm wrong. That being said, I think your show would have went in a different direction if it wasn't for that fiasco at the end of the game. The
certainly. Yes, certainly.
I believe your producers probably produce a different type of show, what have you. So I'm going to give like 5 seconds input on that particular play, in my opinion. I believe both guys should get two games. If McDavid was not involved and it was just solely Myers, it would have been probably two games Myers. But I think what's going to be handed down is one game apiece. That's just my opinion because it's McDavid. That being said, but back to your previous little report that you just had, talking about JT Miller with the trade and what have you.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm a huge hockey fan, but it's a little bit confusing with the media putting it out. JT Miller going here, going there, he's going there. In your opinion, JT Miller, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't he have to agree to a trade, number one? Has to move his no-trade clause? What do you think? What do you guys think? Is he looking at East Coast? If have you? I mean, this guy played with a lot of heart. He was the first guy. If you watched a replay on your broadcast, Sportsnet, if they took it in slow motion, they showed that play numerous times. JT Miller, he came into the play after Connor Garland got the stick to from McDavid. And Miller jumped in immediately. Like, he, no hesitation, jumped in. That's a team guy. This guy's the heart and soul of the Vancouver Canucks. I don't care if he's struggling, in my opinion. This guy is the heart and soul. For him to leave is a huge, huge, huge problem for our team. It's massive. I don't know if he could fill the void with this guy gone. He's the heart and soul. I'm sorry. That's my belief. Maybe fans don't believe in what I'm saying, but he's the heart and soul.
James, I got a question
for
you.
Every player struggles.
Here's my question for you.
Yes.
Like, I agree with you. Like, there have been struggles, and we've chatted about this briefly, that, you know, the way to overcome it is winning, right? And we saw the team obviously have success last year, and it wasn't as big of a deal, and rifts weren't talked about. But like, coming in tonight, they had 7 wins over the course of December into January here. Like, that's
correct.
Not a lot of winning. And usually, you know, these issues, you know, winning necessitates it. And when this team has had their struggles and not hitting their ceiling on a night like we see them hit their ceiling tonight, do you feel like a shakeup is needed, or are you saying it shouldn't be JT Miller?
That's a good, that's a very good point, and you're a professional, so you made a very valid point. I'm just going back to the Leafs game two games ago. We played a very similar style, attacking, skating well, tape-to-tape passes, beautiful hockey, phenomenal. And then we play against LA, and, I mean, this looked like a PB hockey team. And we brought the same game tonight as we did to Toronto. And it's exciting and it's passion and it's every guy like chipping in with a scrum and backing each other up. Like it's night and day with these guys. And I don't know what it is. You know, you guys are the pros. You can analyze it much better than I, but like watching this on TV is just like, wow, we played the same game we played against Toronto and it's phenomenal. And guys like JT Miller, when I watched that replay on slow motion, when they like, you know, showed the McDavid over and over the high stick get to the face and Miller jumped in right away. That's a team guy. Struggle or not struggle, this guy, he's the heart and soul of the Vancouver Canucks. For him to go, I'll be devastated. I don't agree with it if he does go, but I understand it's a business and you want to improve your team and you know, fans demand wins. I get it, but I don't know if it's coaching. I don't believe it is, but they need that spark every night. The way they played the game tonight, bring that spark every night. We'll be fine. We'll get in. We'll get in. 100%
we'll get in. Appreciate that, James. James from Montreal. And good thoughts there coming into the inbox as well. 650-650. Appreciate the call. Again, I'll replay later on in the show everything that Elliot said in headlines earlier today on Hockey Night in Canada. It has also been reported, too, that I think there are some cities that obviously JT might waive a no-trade clause, too. Again, that's per some of the reporting that's been out there, too. It's been mentioned, maybe not some of the Canadian teams, but nevertheless, if there is a return to certain parts of the American teams, that could be something that's explored. But as far as your question earlier, does he have a no-move clause? He absolutely does for the first 4 years of his contract, which is in year two. Obviously, in the final 3 years, it goes to a modified no-trade clause. So, yes, as far as any expiration of a deal, certainly it has to come through the blessing of JT Miller. All right, let's hear from Vancouver Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet. Vancouver Canucks winning 3-2 against the Edmonton Oilers. Here's Coach Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tiletown.
Rick, let's begin with the first period and what you liked about the way your team started this game after some first periods that have gone against you of late.
Yeah, I think the energy was really good. I thought everybody contributed really early on. We got to our game early, which we talked about all day, is make sure we get to our game. I thought we managed the puck. Obviously, we had the last couple of games we haven't managed the puck very well, but I thought we managed it really well and jumped, you know, got the lead. I thought that really helped a lot of guys. So, yeah, I mean, a little bit of everything for me.
What about the very end of the game, especially the scrum there between Garland and McDavid? What did you see out of that?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the video. You know, obviously there's a couple of match penalties, so we'll have to take a look at that. You know, it's out of our control. It's the league stuff.
After a tough road trip, a couple of pretty tough losses, yeah, where you talked a lot about egregious mistakes, yeah, blunders, things like that, what does this win mean to the group? Did you like how they responded to maybe some of the tough moments that they had in the previous games?
I just thought, you know, we talked about certain things of our game, the consistency of it, how to handle pressure. We needed more chunk of guys to really, like, dig in for us. I thought they did tonight. You know, we need some good stuff to happen around here. It's been you know, we got to get a little bit of momentum, some bad luck, some you know, self-inflicted stuff that we've done. But I think, you know, this is a game where, you know, but I'm an even kill guy. This is a good win, but we got to get back. You know, this is a good win. Like, that's the way you got to look at it. So, you know, the highs and lows, you just got to be careful. So I think we got the day off tomorrow. We'll have a good practice Monday and be ready for Tuesday. That's got to be our attitude right now.
Thanks. One more.
Rick. A lot of reporting over the last, yeah, like 6 hours about JT Miller and, yeah, his future and whether or not he was informed that he might not play tonight if a deal had gone through. You get this sort of 18 for 23 face-off wins to assist, yeah, sort of dog performance, yeah, from him. What's that say about him, what he's meant to, yeah, this group, and just your general thoughts on all the noise?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of noise, but, you know, when I've been here 2.5 years, he's played a lot of good hockey for me. And he was outstanding tonight. So, you know, we're just going to march along. But I thought he was terrific tonight. That line, really, I mean, that's a tough line. I mean, McDavid and Draisaitl. I mean, to be able to, you know, that we didn't really shut them down, but they did a hell of a job. So I got to give JT a lot of credit. And one of those faceoffs in the power play were big, too. Those are big ones for us. That got us the two goals.
That is Rick Tockett at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town, serving Victoria, Richmond, and Langley for over 50 years. Tile Town, your one-stop shop for all your tiling needs. Visit us in-store or online at mytiletown.ca. Short thoughts there from Rick Tockett this evening after the Canucks beat the Edmonton Oilers 3-2. I do like the element of saying, yeah, it's a good win, but the got to get back to work. Day off tomorrow, practice Monday, and get ready for the Sabres on Tuesday. So don't want to take too much from it there from the head coach. And so he's trying to stay on an even keel, embrace the moment for right now, and grow into this. And look, it goes to the element that they haven't won two in a row in some time here. So don't want to get too over your skis about a big win in this one and have that focus wane going into Tuesday, or certainly into Monday's practice as well. The last little bit there, referencing a lot of noise about JT. Rick Tockett's been here 2.5 years and seen a lot of good hockey from JT Miller. And I thought, the first shift, like, I got really worried on that first shift because he's the one that's an F3, dives in too early, and it's four Oilers coming up the other way. But that was really about it from JT this evening. Like, it just grew and grew and grew. And given the task at hand and the face-offs are mentioning, 78% in the draw. Obviously, the two assists, one of them coming off the face-off, right? One of the assists right off that Quinn Hughes, that goal. And he just gets that shot, and away they go. They're up 3-0. He played a huge role with the faceoffs this evening, and it's 20 minutes and 25 seconds for JT. We've been on, 15-minute watch, 13-minute watch at times with JT. It is tagged 27 shift tonight for 20 minutes and 25 seconds, 16-19 at even strength as well. With just a quick peek here, Connor Garland at 17-41. At even strength. So I believe Connor Garland was the high man tonight as far as the forwards, and JT a hair behind Elias Pettersson at 16:55. But those are your leaders as far as even strength ice time for the forwards this evening. I'll play this back here from Elliot Friedman now. It's a short clip from earlier. If you missed it, you're catching up still on what people are referencing with the circumstances of trade discussions and all that. Here's what Elliot had to say earlier today on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday headlines.
Yeah, so it continues. Now, JT Miller, I expect, is going to play tonight unless something changes at the last minute. But there was a time over the last 24 hours where JT Miller was not going to play. He was going to be held out of the lineup because talks were progressing on a trade. I believe that team to be with the New York Rangers. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, but that trade is off right now. So there's nothing close that would prevent Miller from playing, but things had progressed to a certain point where it definitely looked like he wasn't going to play. Elsewhere around the Canucks, earlier this week, the Canucks sent out a note warning teams about tampering, saying that, look, nobody is allowed to talk to any of our players without our permission in advance. I believe now at this time, some teams do have permission to talk to Miller. Not sure who it is, but I've heard that there are some teams that have been granted permission to him. And the other situation we're all watching in Vancouver is Elias Pettersson. I heard this week that Pettersson, who does not have no trade protection yet, has told the Canucks he would like to stay. And I think that their preference is to do that.
Again, as we chat about in the pregame show, and that's Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada, on Hockey Day in Canada, hope you enjoyed this festive day, the detailing. And again, it felt like a significant element, too, of letting some teams, speak to JT Miller. And we'll see what this develops here moving forward. Is one game enough to maintain status quo and keep him in Vancouver? But if you wanted an update on it, what it looks like right now, That's where it stands. Again, the Rangers have always been linked to JT Miller. The fascination continues for Chris Drury, but haven't obviously been able to get it over the line or anything like that. New Jersey's name is coming up here in the last 24 hours. Dallas it seems like a team that's always been sniffing around. And, you know, for a player that, you know, brings a lot of emotion, plays the game with the heart on his sleeve, obviously, but also draws a lot of emotion from fans about positively and negatively. Obviously, we see it here in Rogers Arena, the JT Miller chance. But some people can get a little bit fed up, and we've seen about it here in our text inbox over the past couple of weeks. There are moments where it feels disengaged, and then you see a night like tonight. It's like that's what the norm has to be. That's like when you're going, look at the effectiveness that you can have, where you can be in Connor McDavid's grill for a lot of the evening, just preventing him from gaining his speed in the neutral zone. And there's just a couple of moments, just a bump into near the offensive blue line as McDavid's trying to, you know, wind up in the offensive zone, but Miller's there and just kind of checks his speed and is able to slow him down, disabling him from getting reattached to the play. But you just see that a night like tonight where the highest ceiling is presented to you of what JT Miller can do, it leaves it to that should they not element of the fear of getting involved in trade market with JT Miller and how difficult it can be. All right, more of your reaction coming up here. Let's try to squeeze in one more phone call before the break here, actually. Let's go across the nation. Thanks for joining us. Andrew in Newfoundland, how are you?
Vic Nazar, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All by yourself, all by your lonesome, and you're holding down the fort.
No, I've got the people. I've got the entire city of Vancouver and apparently across the nation with me tonight. So,
well, if that's what you got as the ace in the hole, you're in trouble. good game tonight for sure. Definitely an improvement on the last couple of games. Try to keep it quick for you. Just on JT Miller, man, I mean, I know it's been difficult for him. You know, when I had the hat trick of humble brags last month, I was there and we were chanting his names in the arena when I was at game one and two last year against Edmonton. Not only were we chanting his name in the arena, but we were chanting his name in the streets. This guy is a guy we loved, and no matter what happens, he's played a lot of good games for this team. It's sad to see how the public opinion on him has changed rather quickly, but that's the nature of the business. I hope we can keep him. I hope whatever trade talks fall through, I hope we can get some wins and potentially change the mood in the locker room and change the momentum of this team, because I do believe in this team. I believe in JT Miller. I believe in Elias Pettersson. And I think we can do some good things with this core if we can just turn it around and get a little bit of momentum. And I think JT Miller can still be a good part of this team. We just got to cheer him up a little bit. Thanks, Vic.
Thanks a lot. That's Andrew in Newfoundland calling in 604-280-0650, 1-888-275-0650 as well. Kind of echoing the sentiments there from Andrew about what Rick Tocchet said, just needing to gain a bit of momentum here because it has been so stop and start for the Canucks this season. Do the vibes change if they can string together a second win against Buffalo and then you go out and get ready to play Edmonton again? You'd still have the emotion carrying over from this one into that game on Thursday night in Edmonton. Does that buoy you and springboard you into something positive? Then you got Washington coming into town. You know, they played a tight game against Washington just a couple of weeks ago, 10 days ago, back home. Is there an element, too, of, yeah, you got to use this one, of course, as a galvanizing element, but it's hard to make that bold prediction given what we've seen so far this season, where we've had games against Florida, and then you see Boston. Then there's game against Colorado, and you see a Utah letdown game and a game where you probably should close that one out. But it doesn't happen. Even with a two-goal lead in the third period way back when against Utah, It's this thing that we keep mentioning. It's like you don't know what you're going to get when you come to the rink with the Vancouver Canucks. So we'll see what happens Tuesday. But plenty of more of your thoughts coming up. Plus, we'll hear from a lot of players. JT Miller spoke to media amidst all the speculation after an impressive and poor performance by him. We'll hear from him, Connor Garland, and Quinn Hughes all on the way here on the Canucks Central postgame show, which is presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Canucks Central postgame show continues on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast and don't miss an episode.
This is the Canucks Central postgame show.
Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Miller holds in right point. Skating downhill, has room, high slot. Miller to the left circle for Hughes, holding on to the puck. Centering pass, Besser and Garland were both in front, couldn't tip it on. Now Hughes gets it again, left circle, he scores! A rising wrister from the captain beats Stuart Skinner. The Canucks are 2-for-2 on the power play, and they lead the Oilers 3-0 with 2 minutes left in the first.
Yeah, I think the energy was really good. I thought everybody contributed really early on. We got to our game early, which we talked about all day, is make sure we get to our game. I thought we managed the puck. Obviously, we had the last couple of games we haven't managed the puck very well, but I thought we managed it really well and jumped, you know, got the lead. I thought that really helped a lot of guys. So, yeah, I mean, a little bit of everything.
That's the game-winning goal from Quinn Hughes. Part of a 3-minute-and-22-second stretch where the Canucks tally all three goals, bookended by Quinn Hughes, his 11th of the season and his 12th of the season. Welcome to the Canucks Central postgame show. I'm Bick Nizar, riding solo here today. You can get involved 650-650 and also into the phone line 604-280-0650 or 1-888-275-0650. But let's take a look into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox here. Michelle from Langley, good game. I was at the game. A lot of Oilers fans, and they left early. Yet there was a notable sea of orange in the crowd this evening, and they were very vocal, but they go home empty-handed as the Canucks pick up the 2 points. Ted texting in 650-650. With all the shenanigans at the end of the game, let's not forget about the save Demko made in the early seconds of the third to keep the Canucks in the lead. Also, Mac in Nova Scotia saying Demko looks like he's starting to settle in. So the save in the early part, really the only chance the Oilers really had in that third period, came real fast because they loaded up that line, McDavid, Dreisaitl, Hyman, and Ekholm's out there in this spot too, but it's a big early save on him on a kind of a shovel shot, but he gets the blocker there. And just McDavid just kind of sweeping a pass into space, and somebody latches onto it. Just make threatening passes. This team, you know, they've been together for some time, and they just have that bit of a mind meld, and when you play with someone like Connor McDavid, yeah, opportunity to just open up for you. But Demko makes a huge save in that spot because you know, you felt that rhythm starting to grow for the Oilers, especially after the rhythm kind of got broken for Vancouver after the early second period power play. Oilers come right back. Drysdale scores that goal, grows into it. They get their power play goal. You know, they're clicking at over 30% here in these last 10 games. Obviously, they get a goal tonight with the second Drysdale marker. But how are you going to respond in the first part of that third period? Demko there to bail it out and preserve a 3-2 lead and ultimately a 3-2 Canucks win. Keep coming with the thoughts into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Let's hear from Quinn Hughes as well, though, as he scores a couple, gets the game winner as well, and the captain spoke to media after the game. It's talking about the good response from the last two games here.
I mean, obviously, two previous games, you know, weren't to the level that we wanted, and to come out and be ready to compete, we knew that this team has been hot, so it was a good win.
What was different on the power play tonight?
I mean, I tell you guys this every year. We're going to have good games and bad games, and we were able to capitalize tonight, and we just got to keep that going.
What happened in the last few seconds there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you guys probably saw the same thing I did.
Cameras caught you and Phil after you'd sort of had a long conversation with the officials, and I think it was Corey Perry at that point, just sort of sharing a laugh. When you are able to kill out a game against a team like that, but also have it sort of end in a frenetic way, I guess, it was that sort of what it was about?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited about the win. I think everyone here is excited, and it's a big one. We need it, and it shows a lot of character in our group, especially with all the stuff that's been, you know, going around the last couple weeks and, you know, how our last two games went. So, you know, they're a really competitive team, and so are we, so that's what we showed.
You mentioned the stuff that's been floating around, but at least around, like, online or on the broadcast tonight, it seemed to almost hit, like, a different pitch today. Are you even aware of that, and did that make today even more difficult?
Of course I'm aware. I think that's part of my job, to be aware of things like that and just have a good feel for what's going on. But, you know, through everything, I thought, you know, everyone played amazing. And, you know, especially Millsy, I thought he, you know, the way he played against that line, especially in the third. And, you know, he's really competitive. He's a gamer, so it was nice to see.
What has JT meant to you as a
teammate? Yeah, I mean, over the last bunch of years, 6 years it's been, he's a guy that's always going to compete, show up, a lot of passion, a lot of care. And you know, like when, you know, McDavid, Draisaitl, you know, two of the best three players in the, you know, in the world are in town, he's going to be ready to go, and he, you know, wants that challenge, and he's up for it, as you saw tonight.
You guys have had strong performances this year. What needs to happen now to build off this, to create some momentum, to get on a run here?
Just need to put this behind us, enjoy tonight, then get right back at it tomorrow, practice, and then, you know, try to rest up and take advantage of the 2 days we have here.
It seemed like Garland thought he had gotten a touch on that first goal. Did he say that he had touched it?
I thought he did. I told him to go, so I that's what I saw, but yeah.
That's Quinn Hughes after the Canucks win 3-2 this evening, and didn't say no comment, but about all the late-game shenanigans there, kind of just did a, you guys saw the same things I did. As well, but you know, mentioning a lot of the character that they showed in this win tonight, you know, with all the quote-unquote stuff going around, and the fact that he's aware of everything that is being said and being reported right now, and that he feels it's part of his job to be aware, and you know, crediting JT Miller obviously for playing amazing this evening, which is a sentiment that is echoed a lot in our inbox. Keith from Haney mentioning, do we have to trade JT Miller? Are we sure about this? This one, unsigned, is it too late to salvage the Miller situation and keep him? Again, if we played the clip earlier from Elliot Friedman. There's a couple of telling moments. Just saying that, like, obviously the Rangers inquired again, and it got pushed to a level that was JT going to be out of the lineup, but that trade has since been off and nothing close was mentioned. But also some teams perhaps given the opportunity to speak to JT Miller, and if that's you know, sanctioned by the Canucks, that shows an element that this thing could be pushing forward in such a way. But as we always mention, hey, you know, winning solves a lot of things. We'll see if this one changes the minds at all, or at least buys some time to get into Tuesday. And do you see a carryover performance from tonight into that one? And does it snowball? Again, because this is the type of performance a lot of people are psyched up about. One of the words we use in pregame show as far as what you need to see from the Canucks is to have an element of pride. And does that extend to the 19,000 that are in the building here? To say pride showing up at the ring and saying, hey, that's what I want to see. That's the type of committed performance that we saw last year. And that's the sort of stuff you can get behind. And given the way we saw what happened at the end of the game, fiery nature, I imagine that's going to resonate with a lot of Canucks fans. Hopefully it resonates with you. You can text in those 650-650 if you agree, disagree, or if you just want to be part of the show as well. Let's get to the phone line, though, 604-280-0650. A couple more thoughts coming in on the phone line. Let's go to Jordan in Chilliwack. Jordan, welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me. Just kind of like have a thought about the stick checking tonight. And it kind of reminded me and brought me back to, like, that Nashville series where it was like I was calling it hot potato hockey. And it was like push the momentum one way, but it was like, you know what, who cares where the puck's going, but we are, like, putting all the energy into a poke check or a, you know, a stick lift. And it keeps the puck lively, and it creates an element of, like, randomness and a bit of chaos. And I felt that tonight, though. I just kind of wanted to, see if you kind of saw the same thing.
Is that, sorry, are you mentioning that as like a positive or a negative?
Very positive. Very positive.
Right.
Yeah.
I do think, thanks for a lot for the call, 604-280-0650. I like the thought there, and I remember your call from the playoffs, that phrase, hot potato hockey. And they were aggressive in the first period. There was a lot of that. Absolutely. The Hoglander chance, gets set up and that huge scramble, they poke it around and eventually it gets set up for Hronek. But like there was a lot of encouraging elements, but at the same time, even the second Draisaitl goal, like that's, that play by Soucy, like that's a reach, and he kind of just pokes it away, ends up going to the top of the point to Evan Bouchard. That's a moment where I feel like, Carson Soucy can also skate through it and get that puck, get that clear. You can see the two forwards in that spot there. It's Heinen and Garland. Like they're both going high, kind of expecting this puck to start moving out of the zone and also getting to their guys. But like that's also a moment where it can get knocked away. That's why I asked if it was positive or negative, because that's a moment where you can be stronger on that play. And actually, while we're talking about that play, let's just get to the game review, and we'll go through all the goals here, which is brought to you by BC Honda Dealers. Need more power and efficiency in your lineup? Meet Honda's 2025 Civic, Accord, and CRV hybrids. Visit bchonda.ca. Also, we'll start early in the game with Quinn Hughes scoring the first goal of the game. Face-off win by JT. It just goes back to Quinn, and I think this goal comes from face-off alignment. You look at this, Ekholm's on the boards, and it is Garland as the inside guy. He works to the far post, and just the way it breaks down, Ekholm's got to track all the way to the far post, and by the time he gets there, Quinn Hughes has already launched that puck in towards the feet, and Rick Tocchet mentioned it with behind the bench with Batch in the pregame show. Just Kucherov is so good at this, putting the pucks into dangerous areas and getting those bounces. That's the first goal. The second goal, Arvidsson gives the puck away in the neutral zone, PDG quick on it, gets into the zone, back to the point to Tyler Myers. That shot hits Arvidsson in front of the net, and there's Danton Heinen to bury some loose change and put the Canucks up 2-0. And then Quinn Hughes, we heard the goal coming in. They win the draw. It works it around to Quinn Hughes, and there's a bit of a flash screen by the defenders in this spot. But Quinn Hughes takes it to his advantage and shoots short side and beats Stuart Skinner in a to cap off a 3-minute and 22-second sequence, putting the Canucks up into the second period, where Draisaitl wins in offensive zone faceoff. And you heard me and Sat chat a lot about this too, about defensive zone coverages on faceoff losses. And this is a set play. McDavid wheels around the net, takes a pass after a D-to-D sequence, and Myers tracks him the whole way. And then it's Bluger and Sherwood, you watch them at the top of the other side, how they sort out who's taking Darnell Nurse. And that's where this man-to-man element that we always talk about comes up, because Sherwood's creeping up too high for the forward, and then he's got to reattach to Darnell Nurse. And in that time, McDavid has gotten that pass, slammed on the brakes, pulled away from Tyler Myers, gets a cross-crease past Nurse, who just hacks at it, and it just fortuitously back in the direction of Leon Draisaitl, who buries that chance. Who's now come all the way from up high to down low. And so that brings the Oilers back into this game. They end up getting a power play goal. With the entry from McDavid, and this is the play. Like, there was a chance there to get that puck out, but Soucy kind of just pokes at it, sets it up to Bouchard, and just quickly whipped around to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who has all the space because the two forwards too high out of the zone. He sweeps around the net, a great pass to Draisaitl, who snuck it under the blocker of Demko, and that is where the goals stopped for the Vancouver Canucks and for the Edmonton Oilers. Canucks on their way to a 3-2 victory. All right, we got a rotating cast of characters today. I said I had no co-hosts, and it was the people carrying me through, but the guy who carried me through the intermissions, Kevin Woodley, joins us now. His piece will be up at NHL.com, I imagine, very shortly here, but you can also hear him on the In Goal Radio podcast as well, and frequently on Sportsnet 650. How was the vibe downstairs?
I was in the Oilers room. The vibe was not very positive.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there was only one player in the Oilers room, and I think you might hear, I think I might end up in the Oilers post-game video highlights.
Right.
I got pissy Leon'd.
Oh, right. But, okay, what was their sense of what happened at the end of the game?
Pretty much just hockey.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Draisaitl's quote on that was the one he did answer pretty cleanly and just talked about, like, it's frustration and it's hockey. And I asked Knobloch about it, and he admitted that Connor got, like, there's no denying what happened, right? He got up high, but he said it's frustration. We're trying to tie the game, and the best player in the world being held for 15 seconds. And as Connor Garland said, yeah, I held him. I thought that was a pretty good idea at the time, right? Like, so, I know a lot of people are probably going to be screaming for follow-up and supplemental discipline. I'm not sure this feels like that. Like, I think this could be fines both ways. I don't know.
You don't even think a game? Games.
I...
Come on. It's lumber to the face of multiple guys. I think both guys should at least get a game.
Okay, we'll give them a game, I guess.
I think I would agree with you if it was, like, 2 seconds left in the first period. It's not really a game misconduct when it's 2 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, I mean, and there are they did give them match penalties, so it's automatically reviewed.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen. And maybe that's why the Oilers just said, hey, it's just hockey and frustration.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious on this one. But let's just say I would not be shocked if there's nothing that comes.
Oh, man. I think that would be just like a brutal misstep by the Department of Player Safety.
You're not allowed to ask me these questions. Just like that NHL.com story you asked about contains very little about the post-game altercation.
Oh, man. All right. We'll get to you want to hang around for a second here?
I can,
on the other
yeah.
side. All right. We'll chat more with Kevin Woodley, more of your reaction as well coming up on the other side as we say goodbye to the network. But Ian McIntyre is still on the way here for the final half hour of the post-game show. Brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Canuck Central with Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah, your destination for everything Canucks. Exclusive interviews, inside info, and even the post-game show. Listen 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays and on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is the Canucks Central post-game show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Miller and McDavid to take the draw. We're underway in the third period. As the Oilers control, and McDavid goes left wing for Draisaitl. Into the Vancouver zone, forced to the boards by Hirona. Draisaitl, rink wide to McDavid, right circle to the back door. Ekholm is robbed by Demko. A great save across to his right. He held it out. And it's still 3-2 as the Oilers create a grade A chance in the opening seconds of the third.
Welcome back to Canucks Central. Post-game show on the Sportsnet Radio Network, although no longer on the network. Final segment, Kevin Woodley joining us here from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine, the In Goal Radio podcast. Ian McIntyre set to join us at some point here in the last half hour as well. All right, we chatted a little about the end-of-game shenanigans. The first period, you and I were chatting, okay, oh, there was a moment for JT here. Could he have got this puck in deep? The first shift kind of whiffs on a play and it ends up a 4-on-2 rush the other direction. But it grew throughout the course of the game and ends up playing over 20 minutes tonight, 2 assists. In a night where there was fueled with speculation and intrigue of, is this the moment where the last time you're going to hear JT Miller chants in the arena? Really stepped up and had a massive game.
Yeah, and post game, I don't know, you guys haven't gotten the audio or had
a chance. We'll play that here coming
audio,
up in a second.
Like,
yeah.
Talking about how playing against McDavid and how it's always fun. And again, went to, it helps me keep my focus playing against that guy. Like, that was, again, one of the lines that he right. talked about. And JT was asked about those rumors. And, you know, admitted that this feels different. He's been in these in the past, but admitted that this feels different. Didn't really, you know, just talked about trying to stay focused and trying to focus on the game and, you know, didn't really want to go. You know, they tried to get him to reminisce a little bit and what this might mean if it was indeed the last one. And he admitted he didn't know what to say and said he ended it with, I'm planning on being a Canuck today and tomorrow. So whatever happens, happens. And, you know, well, like we don't have an exclamation point. We don't yeah. have an end. There is no -30 on this one yet.
It's more of an ellipses rather than a period in this
dot,
spot
dot,
here.
Dot, dot,
yeah.
Like let's most of my text messages end with dot, dot, dot.
Let's hear from JT here. I just started it off talking about the win and the better team effort this season.
Yeah, it was one of our better team efforts this year for sure. So we should feel proud about it.
Can we start at the end there? What happened in the last few seconds?
I'm not 100% sure. I just saw him and Garley and McDavid wrestling there. So I'm not. I really don't know.
Personal level, how much did you enjoy that game with that assignment?
It's always fun playing against him. Keeps my focus.
What did you like most about the team performance overall tonight? What did you guys do better than maybe you've done the last couple of games?
I just thought it an entirety of the group, like the commitment. Came up with some new looks on the power play, and we stuck to it, and power play got us momentum. It's a big difference in a game like that. Just buy in. When we buy in, we normally have success.
You like after making some changes to the power play, what was working for you guys so well tonight?
Well, it's just, I mean, Yogi comes up with a game plan typically, and today was more of a numbers to the net type of deal. We know that they have a very aggressive penalty kill, and try to make it a little simpler, just box some bodies there, and we made create a little havoc and was got rewarded.
JT, there was a report out there that you might have been held out for this game for a possible trade. Were you aware of that? And if so, how difficult is it to play a game under those circumstances?
I don't know if there's anything. I don't know. It's just try to focus on the game. It's probably good. You're playing, you know, the Oilers tonight and have a matchup assignment. Try to keep me focused. So.
Is it different this time around than it has been? I mean, you're not new to facing these questions from us about staying focused, but is it different? Or has it been different over the last month and especially over the last 24 hours for you?
I guess. I don't really know what to say, to be honest. I don't have a good answer for you. I'm just trying to focus on game still. It's boring, but it's true.
I did notice, though, you took the 3 stars. Is there any sense of sort of knowing that the uncertainty is there, just sort of savoring what's been pretty great run for you in the city?
That's a nice try. Gotta be a little more clever.
I'm gonna try to.
Okay.
If was your last game in Vancouver, what does it mean to you to play here?
I'm not getting into this. I'm planning on being a Canuck today, tomorrow. Whatever happens, happens. I'm focused on the next game.
In regards to the game, they're a team that gets a lot of shots. How do you feel about it? Really limiting them.
We protected the guts. I thought our neutral zone was really good against them for the most part. You know, I just think we were really connected. We've played them so many times. I think it's, you know, we've played some of our best games, I think, against them, and we know what to expect. So I think guys get a little more amped up. You know, it's Saturday, Hockey Night in Canada, stuff like that. It's a fun game to play in, and I thought we just bought in as a team, like I said.
Seemed like almost like a double hard match. You guys would go up for short shift and leave as quick as you could and then put his arm read out there against them.
Yeah, you can't play tired against them. You know, they stay on and have long shifts, and they're better when they're tired than I am, so try to get off.
You're 78% in the face-off dot tonight. Just, did you have a good read on the guys you're up against? Or?
Yeah, I just get into rhythm. I've been pretty consistent this year, so just not really changing much. It's just you got to execute and, you know, play the game within the game in the circle, and sometimes you win more than you lose, but they got some good face-off guys.
The timeout during the late power play, was that to talk about the power play, or was that to talk about your readiness for when the power play ended and they jumped back out on their side?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. I mean, you got to talk about if those two were going to go out and be on the kill and try to get a goal. Obviously, you want to play a little more safe and don't give them any two-on-twos or two-on-ones. So he's got to – we obviously were in a little bit of a more – passive and spread type of thing. Just didn't want to give him any freebies late in the game.
He is a Canuck tonight, plans on being a Canuck tomorrow as well, and just trying to focus on what he can contribute. That's JT Miller after a 3-2 Canucks win. But, it's Bick Nizar and Kevin Woodley here on the Canuck Central post-game show brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Again, you mentioned that there was a couple attempts there to tug at the heartstrings, but doesn't come off as well. And
Thomas wasn't clever enough.
In that moment.
I thought that, I mean, obviously subdued somewhat. You can hear it in his voice, but I thought he handled that really well.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughtful and addressed it without obviously being able to address it completely, but wasn't dismissive. I just thought he handled it really well. And if you guys played the Hughes audio as well, I thought he did as well.
Yeah, and Hughes, again, mentioned that's like, hey, it's part of my job to be aware of what's going on, and then, you know, put the focus on the game that everyone played amazing. And, you know, similar to JT, and when asked about, you know, is it different, he's like, I don't know. But also mentioned, like, it's good that the Oilers are in town tonight because, as you mentioned, it helps keep them focused.
And interesting, too, like, Hughes at the beginning, right? Like, the first response was a little pushbackish.
Mm-hmm.
About I tell you guys every year there's going to be good games and there's going to be bad games. And you remember when we talked about the pregame show, like there was a little part of sort of take, if you pull it back and look at the last two, as bad as they felt. And obviously if management is as close as the reports appear they may have been, that clearly they felt the same way. But there was also that element of Winnipeg's a wagon and you're at the end of a 5-game road trip and then LA is your first game back. Like, as much as that's what Hughes has to do is bring himself and his team back into the moment and the one game at a time mentality that is boring to hear but is what every professional athlete tries to achieve, you know, I thought their game was trending in an okay direction up until that point, at least defensively. And so it'd be interesting to see. They haven't won 2 games in a row, as we said, since November 29th and December 1st. They'll have a chance to do it against a struggling Sabres team on Tuesday. Is it even the same guys that go out to try and do it?
I do like the element that, you know, Rick Tocchet mentioned it too, of just like, oh, the awareness of needing to get a run going here. But, you know, Quinn said it too and Tocchet said it too of, yeah, it's a good win, but got to put it to bed tonight and get ready for Monday's practice, get ready for Tuesday.
And recognize, I think there's been at times, like there was so much excitement about the Toronto win.
Yes.
And I remember watching that game and thinking, like, that's great, but the Leafs didn't piss a drop in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was no pushback. I thought it was more of an indictment of what they did, as much as the Canucks were full value defensively. This is an Oilers team that, as we said during the pregame show and intermissions, 8 games, 8 different cities, 7 like time zone changes for 7 of the 8, and they didn't have much. Like, again, Canucks were full value because the Oilers wanted to push, and Vancouver did a great job. I mean, 3 shots in the third period for the Edmonton Oilers, given everything they're capable of, 15 shots total. So full value there, but don't get too high because recognize where your opponent was at in their schedule. But although, again, as pissed off as the Oilers seem to be by this loss, it meant something to them to, you know, perhaps have an opportunity to go 3 straight games coming back from 3-0.
Well, I do think, like, their game incrementally raised, right? Because the first period was so dominant by the Canucks, but you get that goal early in the second period. Okay, now you can convince yourself to do exactly what you just did here recently, coming back from 3-0 down. Can we do it again and start climbing your back? And so you see that emotion kind of rise in the second period. The early save by Demko in the third period, it's been referenced a couple of times in the inbox too. Maybe that's the first, like, oh, if we got that one, we can carry this over. And then the sting kind of gets taken out of the game. Even though we don't necessarily want to see low event, protect the, you know, play prevent defense. But
it wasn't sit back. We talked about it in the intermission.
It technically worked, though, but it looked a little bit different.
They got in on the forecheck, Bick.
What did we say in the second intermission? It was the fourth line, too.
And they got in deep, and they worked them down low. There was a shift where Pettersson's line did it as well, turned over pucks, didn't allow the Oilers to get any easy looks. We talked about all the easy goals they gifted other teams in the 2 previous games, Winnipeg and LA in particular, and at times throughout this season, there was none of that in the third period. They defended by being in the other end for long stretches of that third period. It was, you know, again, it's grain of salt. It's can you do it again? There has to be some consistency to it. But it looked a lot more like what we saw out of this team last year from a style standpoint.
Yeah, and we referenced this too earlier as we chatted with Phil DiGiuseppe. Like, they got shifts there, like 5 minutes, 6 minutes to go. There's that fourth line out there. They got one at 10 minutes, got one at 6 minutes, and yeah, like minute long shifts that were spent in the offensive zone, and just a certain growth. And, you know, as much as we're talking about JT being in the crosshairs of the trademark and all that, Nils Höglander's name's been referenced, and here's someone that hasn't lived up to a billing from what he did last year, but that looked like a far more confident game. And even as someone that we've seen of, like, there's been nice stretch here recently, it just got to start converting with goals and all these things. But
and he was one of the guys that was in on the forecheck.
Yeah.
And that you and I both, like, yeah, okay, but just don't take that offensive zone penalty that we've seen too many times. But he didn't. Yeah. He found that line, right?
Yeah. And I've referenced it a couple times tonight, but like there was that shift 10 minutes to go where he's like yelling for the puck, and a couple of people texted. It came through on the broadcast too, and it was right below where I'm perched on in the Jim Robinson broadcast gondola, so we could hear it loud and clear. And it's like that's what you want to see, like that commitment, and we saw it all evening at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, a lot more like what we expect from this team. A lot more. How many times have we talked about it in the last week? Identity.
Yeah.
As much as the offense outside of the short burst and the power, like do not ignore the changes. JT talked about making changes to the power play, simplifying some things. Like, what a difference it makes to have a power play that gets you two tonight when the other night against LA, with a chance to get you back in the game, it doesn't even get a shot or a sniff.
I mentioned that early Demko save in the third period there. It was the one off. McDavid kind of sweeps a pass to the middle of the ice, and Ekholm's kind of the one that shovels it there, and he kind of gets the...
I'm going to blame the fact that I was probably still running back to my side of the press box.
Sure.
After spending the intermission with you. I didn't get that one.
Okay, nevertheless. Just thoughts in general. Again, a lower event evening.
Event is not easy for a goaltender.
It is certainly
difficult, yeah, mentally to stay in a game, especially when all it takes is one, and we saw it for Dreisaitl. You know, that's a big game for Thatcher Demko. We talked about the sort of dead angle stuff and some of his post play work, and you know, as I said in the second intermission, I tip my hat to a world class player making world class plays against him. You know, other than that, I thought he was mostly clean, and so you're going to need to see more of that. And like I said, a lot of people, 15 shots, it's not that hard. Man, that is a different test for a goalie, and most of it's between the ears.
Yeah, and especially, I imagine you get ready for a game against Edmonton, you think, all right, it's going to be a volume night, right? And you start seeing this, it's not a lot of rubber coming my way all,
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, but if you let down for a second, all of a sudden it's McDavid down the wing with speed and you're in trouble, right?
Like and you can see really him winding tough up in moments, right? Imagine, yeah, you just see it out of your peripherals, like, all right, there's 97 doing some things.
A lot of goalies will tell you it's one of the toughest things to do is to have nights where you're not that busy. It's one of the reasons we're seeing save percentage drop. Teams aren't wasting shots. A lot of, you know, and there are some goalies in the league that just can't handle it. There's some guys traditionally. I think Curtis Joseph's the one that we point to the most. I hate that he became the poster child for this, but a guy who, you need him to make 70 saves in the playoffs in Edmonton, no problem. Put him in Detroit where you're supposed to win a cup and make 22, and all of a sudden you got a problem.
So here's the thing I want to chat about. It's how do you use this now to bottle it and say Buffalo is going to be a better game, right?
Oh, and Buffalo's the ultimate trap test too, because they're coming out on the road, and like an easy Buffalo. I'm kind of two minds on this. It's felt at times like this group has gotten satisfied with itself somewhat easily, and then had nights where they didn't put in the same amount of work.
Just
but
really
at the same time, against bad teams, they've had results.
I feel like it's part of the DNA a bit of this team that they almost like run on emotion. And
fair.
When you have big moments, do you just like burn out too quickly? And then, oh, okay, we're against Buffalo, and you phase out, and like there's a lapse in focus all of a sudden because that emotion, you can't run that emotion for 82 games. And you see tonight, all right, there's a recognition. It's Edmonton in town, all the drama going on. Can we rise up here?
And, as JT said, focus.
Yeah, and just focus, and they do it, and now. Like, this is the element. It's like, I don't know how much I'm willing to say, oh yeah, Tuesday's going to be a great game, because it just hasn't been like that this year. And does the emotion burn off all of a sudden? You see that wane all of a sudden.
Yeah, and listen, the way they play, as critical as people have been of it from a style perspective, when they're on their game, when they're creating forecheck opportunities like this, when they're backtracking hard and turning pucks over in the neutral zone, it's a hard way to play. It requires a high degree of focus and work ethic. You can't glide. You've got to be moving your feet in the right direction in the right moments without hesitation. And so if that focus isn't there, if that intensity, if that emotion, if that work ethic isn't there, then certainly a team like Buffalo, for all their struggles, if you don't do that and you start giving up odd man rushes, they got plenty of guys that can bury on you. And so it may actually be a good test for them that this is a team that you might be, you know, might have a tendency to let down against, because I do think an inability to sustain this consistently has been a massive part of the problem this season.
Day off tomorrow, but they'll practice again on Monday. And again, it's
day off the ice tomorrow, man. Yeah. Day off the ice. Let's see what happens. You talk about like what's going to happen, and are we like, can they build on this? Like, man, with all the uncertainty around this,
are they going
right
to have
now,
the personnel to build on it?
Is it going to be the same personnel?
Is it? Yeah, like that's the thing, and it's just hanging in limbo all of a sudden here. Of what the next 48 hours might look like. I don't know. Like
Dylan Cousins and the Buffalo Sabres coming to town.
Of all people.
Just swap jerseys.
I just wonder, too, because, like, as we talked about in the pregame, it felt so surreal, right? Of like, oh, is this going to be the last night? And that's why you see elements of the questions that are asked in postgame of, like, tugging at the heartstrings. Because
it is real.
Because it's happening in real time. And yet, I look at this and I think, and it's not a good process, but is one game enough to just buy you time? Is the way this game transpired, right? It's not just a win. It's how they won, as we talked about. It's not that they've lost. It's the way they've lost, 6-1 and 5-1. It's the way they won this game. Does it buy you one more game to say, okay, what does Buffalo actually look like? And if you play well in that game, now you get a reprieve against Edmonton in Edmonton. And if you show it again, is that the one you say, all right, are we actually, like, were we able to weaponize this
moment?
Did
we just witness the galvanizing of this team?
If it happens. But does one win buy you enough time to get you to Tuesday versus Buffalo?
Let's ask somebody who's actually older than me and been around longer than me. I bet he'll have a better answer than me, too. There aren't very many people in this press box that can say they've been around longer than me, but... Ian McIntyre is one of them.
Unfortunately, we didn't have intro music for you, Kevin. But he is.
I don't warrant intro music.
He is the triple threat. You hear him on radio. You read him on Sportsnet.ca, and you see him on television. He is Ian McIntyre.
I know, Kevin, you're just elated that there is somebody older than you who has been around longer than you.
I am.
Welcome to the realm of the walking wounded here.
You and Sat take turns, is that it?
Yeah. Many a member over at 650
being sick.
Have been struck down.
You know what? A lot of people are sick everywhere.
All right. I don't even know where to begin with this game. Do you want to begin at the end, or do you want to begin at the beginning with the rumor mill?
Well, I think let's talk about the game.
Yeah.
And the game that JT Miller had under these circumstances. And maybe it's his last game as a Canuck. Maybe he's going to play about 400 more. Who knows? Right now it certainly feels like the probability is much closer to the last game than the 400 more. And I think you just have to be impressed by if that is his final performance as a Canuck, how good it was. And how focused he was, and how important he is to this team. Like, that's one of the takeaways I have. You see a game like that, and he got the top matchup. I know Elias had a lot of time against McDavid and Dreisaitl as well.
I think it was 5.5 minutes against Dreisaitl.
But JT was the main guy. He was the top priority on the matchup. If there is a trade... Obviously, we're going to be talking about it for years. So there'll be lots of time to dissect it. I just wonder, are they trading the right guy here?
I'll pitch this to you, what I just asked Kevin. Like, does this game buy you enough time till Tuesday? Just to, hey, can you show that you can do this again against Buffalo? And then, again, like, I don't necessarily think that's good process. Because if you're in a stage that one game can inform your decision, then you've probably already made the decision. But given the stakes of, like, what you can see, is it worth just playing this out three more days?
I think they're beyond that. You know, and Elliot Friedman is as connected as anybody in this business. So if he says that they thought they had a trade with the Rangers, or at least were close enough that he was going to be held out. Then I believe they had a trade with the Rangers that was close enough that they were going to hold him out. I also think this mission that management has been on, this exploration to see, well, what is the value for JT Miller? What is the value for Elias Pettersson? It's not about whether they've lost too many games recently or that there's inconsistency with the team. I think it's more than that. I think it's they're looking at what has been a coexistence of very different leaders, very different alpha forwards on this team. And, you know, when you have 51 wins and 109 points and you go to game 7 in the second round, everybody's willing to live with whatever tension there is. But when the team has scuffled like it has from start to finish, and again, I don't want to make it sound like this is because they've had a bad 2 weeks since Christmas, but I think there's real motivation to try to kind of settle what the dressing room identity is going to be and what kind of tone this team is going to have internally. And, you know, maybe they end up trading both, maybe they end up trading neither, but certainly it feels, again, based on Elliott's reporting, that maybe they've made a decision that JT is the one to go.
Night like tonight will make you second guess that decision pretty quick. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you don't change your process based on one night. If that's what you've gotten to and you believe that that's the best thing moving forward, whether you ultimately are proven right or wrong, you follow through. But boy, was that a reminder of what you'd be missing.
Yeah, and you know, stuff happens all the time, and trades get close and then they go away. Maybe the silver lining in this, at least for Miller, assuming he wants to stay, and I believe that he does, but obviously he's working with them because he could scuttle a trade. Maybe that's what happened. Who knows? But maybe the fact that a trade didn't happen today and Miller just had this performance, hopefully it just... The Canucks can't afford to get these trades wrong, I guess, is my point. So if this gives them a little more confidence that the team can still function for the next few days, because you don't want it to get to a point where everybody's thinking about that instead of the game. And Carson Soucy told me after the game that that's a problem with this noise, is it distracts from what your focus should be. He also said some incredible things about JT Miller as well. But maybe a performance like this, both by Miller and the team, it just lowers the temperature a little bit. I don't think if they're this far along in the process that it really changes the process. But maybe they don't. They can be a little stronger in their position on what they're willing to take and not sell at as steeply a discount as it may turn out to be.
Could we liken it to like Brock when he was nearly healthy scratched and it felt like that was coming to a head as well?
No, because I don't know that, you know, Brock was at such a low point.
They couldn't get a deal.
Yeah.
I think they would have made one if they could have gotten one. They just couldn't get one.
And on his salary.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think it's the same thing. And let's remember, Brock initiated that process by having his agent tell him that he wanted to change. And I talked to Brock after the season about that. Like, why did you ask to go? Because, you know, he told everyone at the end of the year he wanted to stay. And he said he just felt like he needed to change. But it turns out, as so many of us discover as we get older, the things that make us happy or unhappy are not as simple or superficial as what it seems. So that was just Brock. I don't think that JT, for the issues that he's dealing with, and maybe he'll explain all of this to us one day, maybe he won't.
The tell-all book.
But I just think with whatever he's been dealing with, I've never had the sense that he doesn't want to be part of this. Like he, you know, he was so passionate in saying why he chose to stay with Vancouver and the vision they had and what it would mean to win with this group. And he talked about the players, and one of those players he talked about was Elias Pettersson. Like they know that they have something very good here potentially. So I don't know what has changed for him. We do know that he's dealing with things beyond hockey. And I hope that whatever happens, it's going to make him happy. But there's a chance in the short term it's going to make this team worse.
See, the old guy's wise.
Yeah. That's why we wait till the end of the night and everyone's like, all right, I've burned the emotion of this game. And
I think Woodley's hair, who's got more salt in the salt and pepper hair? Is it Woodley or is it me? And if it's me, just lie.
My all white Santa Claus beard probably doesn't help my cause in this debate.
Bic would love to be part of this discussion. Right?
Yeah, absolutely, of course.
Three choices.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
How did Bic do as host? Like, I know he's been pining for that big chair for years and years and years. I don't know what you did to Sat that you've now.
I got a story for you about that one afterwards. all right.
Hey, yes. He survived me as a co-host, so he did pretty damn well.
Thank you, Ian, for joining us here on the postgame show. Big thank you to Kevin Woodley for the pregame show and intermissions.
We miss Kevin on the other side tonight.
Was it boring on that side?
Gemma especially.
Yeah. Well, I'll send a gift basket to the other side. Thank you for...
you can't afford that. Affording. You work in radio.
Well, after today, I might ask for a raise. Oh, after okay.
The big chair comes with bigger gift baskets.
Yeah. You know, Kevin's got a car deal. There's only one person in this building with a car deal. It's Kevin Woodley.
There you go.
It's because I got blonde still in my hair.
Yeah. The yeoman's effort by Kevin Woodley.
Blind in your eyes.
Throughout the course of the day. Appreciate that. Big thank you to Eddie. Wait,
did you just say yeoman's effort?
Yeah.
And you think I'm going to let that pass?
Well, I brought it up because you brought it up the other day.
All right.
See, that's why they put me in the big chair.
All right,
today.
Hurry up. End the show.
Big shout out to Fast Eddie Gregory back in Mission Control. Lean us to tag in here. In Rogers Arena, and to the listeners, my pseudo co-hosts throughout the course of the evening as well here on the postgame show. Canucks win 3-2. It's a presentation of the Canucks Central postgame show brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. Back at it Monday here across Sportsnet 650 all throughout the day. I'll be on the People Show at 3 o'clock. Satya Shaw, Dan Riccio on Canucks Central at 4 o'clock on Monday as we wait on pins and needles to see what happens for the Vancouver Canucks here moving forward. It is Canucks Central postgame show here on Sportsnet 650.